Jesus says in Matthew 10, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." The disciples are going to face a lot of hostility, Jesus is saying. You're going to be attacked. You're going to have to be really smart to avoid attack, to survive, and you're going to have to know how to counterattack. But never sin. You have to be innocent as a dove. That's why Jesus, at the end of today's parable, he talks about being faithful and trustworthy. Who is the best example of being shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove? Who would it be? It's Jesus. Very shrewd. So when he comes to teach us, he didn't start off with the hard teachings. He won our hearts. He won our heads with miracles and healings because Jesus knows human nature. He knows it's hard to win people. So he's very, very smart, very wise. There is another time the Pharisees, they try to entrap Jesus and they ask him, okay, your disciples, do your disciples obey God or the emperor? Either answer will get him in trouble. Jesus has a shrewd reply. This is what he says. Show me a coin. Whose likeness and inscription has it? They said, Caesar's. He said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. This is the famous passage on how Christians are supposed to be involved in political life. We respect the things that are God's. We respect the things that are the state's. We have a federal election in 1 month's time. And we're keeping in mind what Jesus is saying. You have to be shrewd. And so we're asking him, Jesus, okay, what's the best way to serve? What's the best way to serve our country? So we're just going to do a quick Q&A. First question, should Catholics be involved in political life, yes or no? Yes. Now, what's the best way to do it? You have to speak the truth, and you have to stand up for the common good. Next question, do Catholics have to vote? Very good. Well, it's amazing. Well, I guess they don't have to do the rest. The Catechism says it's a moral obligation for Catholics to pay their taxes. I know you're all happy to hear that one. To exercise the right to vote and to defend one's country. So if we didn't have a good reason not to vote, it would actually be a sin for us not to vote. Well, why? Well, because voting is a privilege, and people have fought and died to give us this privilege. So it's a really wonderful thing. We should exercise it. When is voting for the federal election? Monday, October 21st. So exactly 1 month from now. And there's also advanced voting October 11th to the 14th. And we can even do it by mail. So there really shouldn't be any excuse. Next question, are some moral issues more important than others? Or are they all equal? The answer is some are more important than others. We said last year that the most basic right is the right to life. Because if you don't have the right to life, I mean, if you're dead, no other right matters, right? So fundamental one is you have to have a right to life. What's the next fundamental right or the next fundamental issue? We say it's sexuality, marriage, and family. Because the family is the cell of society. If we can get the family right, that has a positive impact on all of culture. So the best way to vote is you have to vote for the best people you know, and you have to start researching. I know that's hard, but we're going to have to start researching. What do the candidates believe? What are they proposing? And we're going to have to talk to each other about this. Next question, harder. Do Catholics believe in separation of church and state? Yes and no. So we do believe in separation of church and state because no one wants Pope Francis to be Prime Minister of Canada, right? That wouldn't be good. It's actually forbidden according to church law. Clerics are bishops, priests, and deacons, were forbidden from running for public office because that would be too close of a mix. That's wrong. But lay Catholics, you, if you guys run for office, that's considered praiseworthy. We don't want the church and the state to be too close together, because we would never ask non-Catholics to follow specifically Catholic morality. Non-Catholics don't have to go to Mass on Sunday. We wouldn't ask them to do that. There's another reason. It also protects the church. In history, every time the state and the church got too intermingled together, the church always got corrupted, and the church lost her moral authority. We don't want that to happen again. But If separation of church and state means that religious people can't participate in the public square, we don't believe in that. We have a right, just like everyone else, to speak and to share our opinion. I'll give you an example of this. Right now, let's say on the pro-life issue, Christians, Catholics, Sikhs, Muslims, and of course even atheists, but in this case it doesn't matter, but the religious groups, if we are pro-life, they'll say, don't force your religion on me. And we say, whoa, we haven't brought up religion here. So for us Catholics, abortion isn't first a religious issue, it's what we call a natural law issue. We believe in pro-life not only because the church teaches it, but because it's supported by science and philosophy. Abortion isn't wrong because the church says it's wrong. The church says it's wrong because you can see that it kills a little baby. Next question, last question. Should Catholics be involved in political activism? Yeah, if it's good and it's moral, let's do it because it would help society. We are not going to only help Canada by praying for our fellow citizens. St. Paul in the second reading today urges that supplications, prayers, intercessions be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions. Prayer is really important and it changes hearts and changes the world, but you can't stop there because Jesus didn't stop there. You can't be naive. You actually have to do something. When I was 18, I went to UBC for a talk, and I met what would become a future friend, Stephanie Gray. So Steph was giving a talk on pro-life abortion. And she gives a talk, and at the end, she said, well, now I'm going to show you some videos of an actual abortion so you can see what happens. She said, if you don't feel comfortable, you can step out, and then you can come back in later. I was one of the people who chose to step out. Maybe I'm squeamish, whatever. But I learned a year later, Stephanie's really smart. You actually have to show those videos and you have to actually see the pictures. Because when you see an actual abortion and how it rips apart a baby, then you realize, I have to do something about this. Showing photos of abortion, it's uncomfortable. But not because showing the photos are uncomfortable, it's because what's photographed is uncomfortable. When you actually see what happens, then you realize, wow, that's what pro-choice is. Pro-choice means actually dismembering a little person, and you can see all the damage it does. Jesus today is challenging us to be more shrewd, more prudent, more wise, and I think we have to be better communicators, and so he's put it on my heart. I think in the future, not now, I think in the future we're going to have to get ready to actually see photos of abortion. I'll give you fair warning, don't worry about it right now, but I'm just letting you know. That might be coming. One last thing about Rosa Parks. When she was being harassed by that bus driver, she said this, I thought of Emmett Till and I just couldn't go back. Who's Emmett Till? Emmett Till was a 14-year-old black boy who was, 4 months before this incident, he was lynched and he was murdered. And what happened is, two white men, they accused this 14-year-old boy of flirting with a white woman. So they kidnapped him, and they beat him so badly that his face was unrecognizable. And then they shot him, and they threw him into the river. And during the funeral, the mother had a choice. Do you have the casket closed or open? Now, a lot of us would say, keep it closed. You don't want people to see this, what they've done. It's overwhelming. It's so uncomfortable to see it. The mother was very shrewd, and she said, open the casket. I want the world to see what racism does. So thousands of people went to this boy's funeral, and we have photos of it. And they saw his face. His face is so swollen. It doesn't even look like a face anymore. If you look at the pictures, it looks like a big blob of meat. It is horrendous. And when you see that, you say, I have to do something about racism. That's what racism does. So Rosa Parks, she said, I thought of Emmett Till. I just couldn't go back. So she said, I'm not giving up my seat. And then she got arrested. And then she joined the bus boycott for that year. Then she lost her job at the department store. Her husband also lost his job because they said, don't talk about this. He talked. Then she started traveling around the country giving talks. She was always receiving death threats, and she donated all of her money to ending racism. We can learn a lot from the virtues of Rosa Parks, but more importantly, we want to learn from Jesus, and he was shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove.